this to Speaker Sheldon Silver. Thank you for your leadership on this issue for many, many years. As the Speaker mentioned, this unfortunately required tragedies and loss of life to actually spur the political process to action. But it's an issue that many people have worked on for many, many, many years without the type of success we've seen today. But it's the effort that has been made for many years, and we applaud all of them. But this was an extraordinary accomplishment by the legislature of this state. This was an extraordinary first day of the legislative session, day one. I can only imagine what they're going to do on day two, if this is what they do on day one. But let's please join me in giving the Assembly and the Senate a round of applause for their great work. I want to welcome Leah Gunn Barrett, who and the victims and the advocates for sensible gun control who've worked for so many years on this effort and in many ways worked for so long to get to today. I want to thank the district attorneys who are with us, Derek Champagne and the District Attorneys Association that worked very hard to pass this bill. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you for being with us. And as a point of personal privilege, Joseph D'Amico of the State Police, Lieutenant Governor Bob Duffy, who has been extraordinary on this effort, and many others, and Mylon Dennerstein and Larry Schwartz and Liz Glazer, who worked very hard on this bill. I thank them very much for all their good work also. As you heard, this is common sense. You know, sometimes it's difficult to get to a place where you can actually exercise common sense. But this is a gun control bill, if you will, that actually exercises common sense. The first point is people who are mentally ill should not have access to guns. That's common sense. It took society a long time to get there. It was complicated to come up with a mechanism to actually effectuate that. But that's probably the hallmark of this bill, coming up with a system that allows for mental health screens, which then means you need a database of ownership so you can actually do those screens. And we'll have, for the first time, a statewide handgun database that will allow the state, allow local officials to check periodically for mental health issues, to check periodically for criminal convictions, because you don't want criminals and people who are mentally ill to have access to guns. What we call the Webster provision, mandatory life without parole if you kill a first responder, period. And unfortunately, we needed the situation of Webster to bring us to that realization, a background check on all private sales. Why? Because the old system made no sense. If you went to a gun dealer to buy a gun, then you had to go through a background check. But if you couldn't pass a background check, then you bought the gun privately, maybe paid a little bit more, but you went your private sale and there was no background check. No, if you need a background check at a dealer, you need a background check when you buy it privately. And this is the first system that actually implements that. And seven bullets in a gun. Why? Because the high-capacity magazines that give you the capacity to kill a large number of human beings in a very short period of time is nonsensical to a civil society. And seven bullets capacity in a gun takes care of hunters, takes care of sportsmen, takes care of target shooters. But God forbid there's a situation with a person who is mentally ill or a person who, one reason or another, wants to kill a large number of people. It gives law enforcement a chance. And that's the common sense of seven bullets in the gun. I am proud to be a New Yorker today. I am proud to be part of this government, not just because New York has the first bill, but because New York has the best bill. This is a complex, multifaceted problem, and this is a comprehensive bill that addresses the full panorama and spectrum of issues that come up. I'm proud to be a New Yorker because New York is doing something, because we are fighting back, Because, yes, we've had tragedies, and yes, we've had too many innocent people lose their life, and yes, it's unfortunate that it took those tragedies to get us to this point, but let's at least learn from what's happened. Let's at least be able to say to people, yes, we went through terrible situations, but we saw, we learned, we responded, and we acted, and we're doing something about it. We are not victims. We can strike back, and we can defend ourselves, but we're going to do it intelligently, and we're going to do it prudently, and we're going to put rules in place that actually protect innocent people in society. That's what the state of New York is doing today. And it says common sense can win, and good people can win, and you can actually get government to work and get good things to happen. You can overpower the extremists with intelligence and with reason and with common sense. And you can make this state a safer state. And that's what we're going to do today with the passage of this bill. It was my honor to play a role in it. It is exactly what we pledged when we came here, to make this state a better state. Today we are doing just that. Please join me at the table and let's sign this bill. Thank you. Seeing no questions, thank you all very much. Have a good evening. Just once I want to do that. I don't know how they could have a question.
The NRA came out on the attack today on the plan. They've also said that they don't think the plan could pass Congress. What's your reaction to
that? Yeah, well, different people have different opinions, and you can't make everyone happy all the time.
There's some lag here. I know that people who have rifles and shotguns that now, as of this minute, are defined as assault weapons, they have a year to register with the state police. I'm wondering, what do you think is going to happen over that year? Do you expect people to be selling them out of state? Do you expect people to register? Do you expect there to be problems?
No, we wanted to give them a reasonable period of time. This is a change in the rules. You know, people bought guns. They had guns under a different set of rules. We understand that. So we wanted to give them a reasonable period of time to adjust, to inform themselves, consider options. And that's what you'll see in all these expiration effective dates, is just giving people a reasonable amount of time to adjust.
Yep. In 2 months, the private sale provisions requiring background checks kick in. Is there anything in the law requiring licensed gun dealers to perform this service? And do you expect that they will? Do you expect that they won't? How do you see this?
Is it mandatory? It's a good question. I don't know. Is it mandatory that a gun dealer provides a service? No. But a gun dealer can provide the service. The gun dealer will be reimbursed. We estimate about $10 to run a NICS check, to run the check. So a buyer, prospective buyer, would go to a gun dealer that will run the check, most do, and pay a nominal fee, $10, get a certificate that they passed the NICS check, and then go to a seller of the gun and buy the gun if the person wants, showing that they have the NICS check.
Governor, do you believe that New York City pension funds should be divested of guns?
That's up to the controller, Zach. I don't have an opinion. It's up to the controller.
Governor, what are some of the chapter amendments that need to be done to the legislation that was alluded to in the assembly
today? I don't know. We can get you a list afterwards if you'd like, Nick. Unless you know, speak. No? What the specific chapter is.
To make it clear that police are exempt.
Police officers to have a bigger magazine than is allowed by the law. And the law wasn't clear, so we made it, the chapter amendment will make it clear that they're not proscribed from having a larger than 7 magazine.
Assemblyman Joe Lento did a heck of a job today. Let's give him a round of applause. Law enforcement will enforce the laws, Ken. We don't have any special efforts planned.
And how do you get the word out that the law isn't effective?
Read the Daily News tomorrow.
Governor, do you expect that this is the end of the efforts to tighten laws of the day?
I think this Well, I think this has been going on for a long period of time. People working on this issue. I worked on this issue many, many years ago when I was in the federal government. I believe this is a comprehensive package that makes a real difference and addresses the problems that are presented today. I don't anticipate any further action. Do I believe from a societal point of view, will there be will society evolve and needs evolve, and may there be a need in the future? Yes, but not that I anticipate or am planning. Two points. One is what's called the message of necessity. As soon as people found out that I was proposing a specific law that was going to ban the sale of assault weapons, we were afraid that would actually cause a rush on the market of people who wanted to buy assault weapons. If we had made that announcement and then waited for 3 days, we believed you'd see an unprecedented period, possibly, of people buying assault weapons before the law was passed, just to get in under the wire, if you will. That would have been the exact opposite of what we were trying to achieve, right? We were trying to ban assault weapons. I didn't want to do something that would actually increase the sale of assault weapons. There have been all sorts of reports over the past few weeks that even the possible contemplation of this law caused increased sales at gun shows, et cetera. So I didn't want to do anything that would actually be the exact opposite, have the exact opposite effect. Second, to the extent you hear people politically saying, well, it was rushed, it's a message of necessity, you know, the people tend to say that when they disagree with the outcome of the bill. You know, I was listening to some of the debate myself today, and some of the people who are raising that issue today didn't say it when we did Tier 6 pension reform on a message or the marriage vote on the message. So it tends to be politically expedient, I think.
Governor, if these guns and the ammo clips that you're talking about today are so dangerous to the public and to public safety and children and so forth, why let people keep them?
Well, the clip, the magazine itself isn't dangerous. It's what's in the magazine that is dangerous.
But all these magazines and guns are still going to be out there, right?
The magazine will be out there, but it's not the magazine. The magazine is harmless. I suppose if you hit some with a magazine. But it's not about the magazine. It's about the number of bullets in the magazine. And that's what we're limiting.
My point is that all these guns are still out there. You're not making these guns illegal. You're grandfathering them in. And if they're so dangerous, why leave them out in New York State?
Yeah, well, your argument would be the argument some people make. There should be no guns in society. I disagree with that argument. And what we're saying is the prior assault weapons will be registered, so we will know who owns them, and then we can do the mental health checks, we can do the periodic updating of the database with criminal convictions, and it's about keeping guns out of the hands of people who are mentally ill and criminals. This is not about outlawing guns. It's not. I've said repeatedly, I am a gun owner. I own a Remington shotgun. We're talking about Remington today. I own a Remington shotgun. That's not what this is about. It's not about hunters. It's not about sportsmen. It's not about legal gun owners. It's about illegal use of guns, illegal guns, mental health checks, and that's what this law does.
Did you walk us through the mental health provisions, how you developed them? Did you consult with anyone in developing the mental health provisions?
Yeah, but that's a long conversation, Tom. We've been working on this bill for weeks and weeks. There have been hundreds of conversations, and we can talk you all through that. Because you're right, it was a very complicated system to put together and a delicate balance to achieve. You want to protect the rights of mental health professionals, patients of mental health professionals. But at the same time, you want to have a system that also helps protect them. You know, if a person is a possible threat to themselves, then you don't want them to have a gun because they could possibly hurt themselves also, as well as others. But we can talk you through that.
Governor, there are some gun owners and advocates who say that this registration will be a precursor to confiscation. what assurance or response do you have to that?
You know, Jimmy, that is the slippery slope argument. That is the argument that they always make, you know, any law is a bad law because it may lead to another law. We have handgun registration. We have had handgun registration for many, many years. Did it lead to confiscation? So what is the difference? All we're really saying now is handgun registration and assault weapon registration. That's what this is saying. Banning sales going forward, prior assault weapons should be registered just like you register a handgun.
Governor,
obviously this is not the only thing going to get done this year. How do you think this bodes for future deals that you will need to cut with the legislature, especially in the state Senate? I can't help but notice Senate Republican Leader Dean Skelos isn't here today.
I believe he's out of town. No, my work here is done, Nick. I'm finished for the session. It's up to now the Assembly and the Senate. Whatever else has to be done, I know they can handle it. We have a robust agenda that we laid out in the State of the State. This is an extraordinary beginning. It really is. I tell you, I'm excited about this legislative session. I think the past 2 years you have seen a steady growth in the functional capacity of government. We have had our hiccups and we've had our fits and starts, but if you were to graph it, this is a state government that is getting better, that is getting stronger. And I think to accomplish this task on the first day of legislative session really speaks to the extraordinary leadership of the people who we have elected to the New York State Legislature in both the Assembly and the Senate. So let me applaud them once again. Would either of you like any other comments? Anything you left out? Anything I left out? Anything you want to edit? Correct? No? Comments? Exclamation?
It was important for you.
You only get three questions, Ken. You are now violating the three-question rule.
Well, you have to say Cersei has an assault rifle and they have a mental health.
They have an assault rifle, which is they would now need to register if the gun is registered and there isn't a database and they are reported by a mental health professional, then that would come up on the registry, and that would be a reason for law enforcement or the appropriate authority to contact that individual and discuss the possession of the gun. That is exactly what this is designed to do. Congratulations to everyone once again. Thank you very much. Thank you.